I want you to open your Bibles this morning in the book of Judges, and the chapter is the chapter 11. Judges chapter 11, and commencing first of all at verse number 1, and we read some verses, and then down to the end of the chapter. Judges chapter 11, verse number 1, that now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah, said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. It came to pass in process of time, that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me, and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now, when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them, and Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, Why hast thou, or what hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, Because Israel took away my land, when they came out, or up out of Egypt, from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands, again, peacefully. Let's go to verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hand, then it shall be, that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hand. And he smote them from Aroer even till thou come to Minnith, 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with trembles and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which thou hast proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. Amen. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of this passage of his infallible truth for his name's sake. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow humbly and we bow reverently before thee this morning. And we thank thee for thy precious word. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt teach us, Lord, more of thee. And Lord, more of what you want us to be, even in the meditation of thy word. Bless thy word now to our hearts. And God, O God, grant that this day that we might continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. As we come to our study this morning, in the chapters 10, 11, and 12, because they're linked together, we find that God raises up a variety of people. God takes different instruments, and to those instruments he gives different abilities, and he gives different gifts. And yet, when God raises them up, then those whom God raises up are worthy of our consideration. One of those this morning I want us to think about, and the one is, his name is Jephthah. And I want to think about what the Spirit of God tells us about this man. In chapter 10 of the book of Judges, if you go back there, it says, and after Abimelech. And so we find that Abimelech, that we looked at last Lord's Day morning, has died. He's gone. He came to a very sad and a very tragic death. But after Abimelech is removed, we find that God raises up judges. Now in the chapter 10 and verse 1, we find that there are two, or there's first of all one judge called Tola. There arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah. And of course, he judged Israel, verse 2, for 23 years, and he died. And friend, whilst he was a judge, and therefore a very important person, yet we find that that is all that the Spirit of God has got to say about him. And then we come to verse 3, and it speaks about another man, and after him arose Jair, the Gileadite, and he judged Israel 22 years. And so the Spirit of God tells us that there are two judges that follow Abimelech who had arisen in the land among the children of Israel. Then turn over to chapter 12. And you'll find that there are further three judges that are mentioned there. In chapter 12, in the verse number 8, it says, and after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel, and he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, whom he sent abroad, and he took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons, and he judged Israel 7 years. And that's Ibzan. And that's what the Spirit of God has got to say about him. And then it says in verse 11, and after him, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years. In verse number 13, and after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, and he judged Israel. And so we find that once again we have the record of 5 different judges that were over the land and over the people of Israel. And although we have the 5 judges mentioned, we find that there's little more that's recorded in the Word of God concerning them. And yet in the midst of these five judges, you find that the Spirit of God chooses out another man. And this man is worthy not only of mention, but we find that the Spirit of God gives us a record of his life and the things that he did for God, and his name is Jephthah. Now, of course, remember this, that when God raises up a man, he exalts a man to reveal his own glory, not for man's glory. And the Bible, you must remember, is a book that is not for the exaltation of man, but the Bible is a book that exalts the Lord himself. It exalts God himself. I want us to think about how that God is exalted in the life of a man called Jephthah. And that brings us into the heart of chapter number 12. You note that there came to him, verse number 1, and the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah. Now you will remember the children of Ephraim were mentioned before. We just remember in the chapter number 8 they were mentioned. And when they're mentioned again, we find that they're doing the same thing that they did in the chapter number 8. Because it tells us, if you go back to the chapter 8, you will find there that they were complaining against Gideon. And they come over to Gideon and they're challenging Gideon because Gideon has not called them. Verse number 1 of chapter 8, the men of Ephraim said unto Gideon, why hast thou served us thus that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And so we find that the Ephraimites in chapter 8 and also in the chapter 12, they are a people that seem to be always running about with a chip on their shoulders. It seems that nothing is right. They're always feeling that they are left out. They always feel that there's something wrong with the situation and that nothing ever suits them. Now you'll notice that whenever Gideon was met by the Ephraimites, he, as it were, stroked their fur. He patted them in the back and he told them, you know, you are able to do more than me. And he gave them a little pat on the back and that seemed to sort of settle them down. And that helped them to go on. But friend, when you come to the 12th chapter of the book of Judges, you find that whenever these men come to Jephthah, and they play the pity game with him, and they play the blame game with him, you'll find that Jephthah didn't pat them on the back and he didn't stroke their fur. In actual fact, Gideon did so because, let me say this, Gideon was in the midst of a battle. Gideon was fighting the Midianites, he was fighting the armies of the enemy of God, friend, and Gideon had no time to fight his own people. He was willing to encourage them and to leave them happy because his eye was upon the enemy. But whenever they come to Jephthah here, it says, and it tells us that whenever they come in chapter 12 to Jephthah, and wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, verse 1, and didst not call us to go with thee. You see, they wanted always to be called. They didn't want to rise up and fight the battle themselves. They didn't want to volunteer. No, they had to be more important than the rest of the tribes. They had to be called. They had to have a special invitation to join them. And of course, whenever they didn't get the special invitation, they took and ran around with a chip on their shoulder because things didn't work out the way that they wanted to go. But friend, let me tell you, Jephthah didn't appease them. And Jephthah didn't stroke them on their fur, but he faced them down with a sword. Go to verse number 6. Then said they unto him, say now Shibboleth. And he said Sibboleth, for he could not free him to pronounce it right. Then they took of him and slew him at the passages of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. 42,000 of the Ephraimites They fell, and Gideon goes on. Now, I want us to get the background here of the story, because I want us to have an understanding of how Jephthah came into the scene in the first place. If you go back to chapter 10 and verse number 6, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Sidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines, and they forsook the Lord and they served him not." And once again, there is a great apostasy. Once again, the children of Israel, instead of following after God, friend, we find that they follow after the gods of Baal and the gods of Ashtaroth and the gods of Sidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of Ammon and the gods of the Philistine, and they forsake the Lord. That's the pattern of Israel's failure and their apostasy. Then you find that in actual fact, that when they forsake God, friend, this is what happens in verse 7. "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon." You know, there's always a price to pay for sin. There's always a price to pay for sin. And verse 8 says, "And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. That's the price they had to pay. And it says in verse 9, "Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed." Now they're in trouble. They've forsaken the Lord. They've sinned against God. They've forgotten God. They've followed after false gods. And now they're in distress, they're vexed, and they're in trouble. Notice what happens in verse 10. "And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." You see, friend, when they had nowhere else to go, then they cried unto God. And they cried unto God, and God reminds them in this passage in verse 11, "And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also and the Amalekites and the Madianites and that did oppress you? And ye cried to me and I delivered you out of their hands, yet ye have forsaken me." How many times, friend, has God to deliver them? How many times have they to run to God, friend, and they run to God simply because there's nowhere else to go? What does God say in verse 14? "Go and cry unto your gods. Go on, cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." He says, "You didn't want me." You know, there are people this morning in God's house today, and friend, let me tell you, it's only when your back's against the wall and there's nowhere else to go that you'll humble yourself and you'll fall on your knees and you'll cry unto God and say, "Oh God, please help me." But until then, you just leave it and you'll worship other gods, the gods of silver and the gods of gold and the gods of positions and possessions and all the other gods that you have in your life, but you forget the Lord. And God says, "Go to the gods that you followed." You know, God's a merciful God. You know, God is breaking this people, and it says in verse 15, "And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned." And you know, friend, they had to come to the place where they had to acknowledge not only they're in trouble, but because their trouble has come because of sin. And they cried, "God, we have sinned." And when they humble themselves before God and they have sinned, "We have sinned, do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee this day. And put away the strange gods from among them and serve the Lord." And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. God's soul was grieved. You know, God was vexed for his people. Thank God we have a gracious God, a God that's touched. God's touched, the Bible says, with our infirmities. And so we find that we have a God who thinks upon us. And even though that Israel sinned against God, God's heart goes out after. Why? Because there is children. And God loves his children. God has to chastise his children, but he does it because he loves them. And now at that time, just at this time, whenever Israel has turned back to God, friend, there's a stirring. There's an enemy that's rising up against them. And we find that there's a stirring here. And there's a battle about to break. But Israel is a problem. She's no leader. She's no captain. She's lost her way. And that's where we come into the story, chapter 11 of Jephthah. For God raises up a man. And God says, I look for a man to stand in the gap. And here, God provides in a most wonderful way, and in a new, unique way, God provides a man for the hour. And his name is Jephthah. I want us to think about him this morning. First of all, think about his past. Go to verse 1, chapter 11. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. Now, the Bible says that he was a mighty man of valor, but then the Bible also says he was a harlot. That means that he couldn't forget where he came from. His mother was a harlot. You know, his life was stained by the sins of his parents. The Bible also says in verse 2 that Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Gilead and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. And so not only is he someone who is stained by the sins of his parents, but listen, the rest of the family doesn't want to know him. And he's suffering because of another sin. Jephthah didn't ask to be born, friend. He wasn't personally to blame, but he was kicked out. He hadn't much of a chance because his brethren kicked him out, but God was going to take him up and use him. And you know, maybe there's somebody here this morning, before I go on, friend, be honest before God, you're hampered by your past. And the old devil is hampering you and your desire to go on and to be something for God and to do something for God. And the old devil is reminding you of your past. And the old devil is hampering you by your past. And you say, I couldn't because of my past. Let me tell you, every one of us has a past. Let God use you because God's able to use you. If you yield yourself to God. You stop blaming the past, friend, for your unwillingness in the present to let God use you. Jephthah, you know, could have walked around with a chip on his shoulder, and I'll tell you, he would have been a better man. He was a man who was born in an ungodly way. He was a man that was even thrust out by his own brethren because they said to him, listen, thou art the son of a strange woman. Thou art the son of a harlot. You're not going to be with us in our father's house. You're not going to inherit anything in our father's house. And he was going to be thrown out. And you know, the devil seeks to hunt you about the past. Let me tell you, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Now, because of this situation, verse 3 tells us that he had to flee. You see, he was thrust out. Nobody wanted him. And you know, it's amazing, however, that it seems in the midst of all of this adversity that Jephthah doesn't forget God. We'll see that in a moment. Not only his past, look at his present. Israel's in a mess. She's facing an enemy. Somehow the enemies are gathered around, and then somebody, and somehow the children of Israel are moved. Because Ammon is closing in upon them. And so the elders of Gilead, they come. And they come to Tob. And they invite Jephthah to come back. Even though they thrust him out. In verse number 6, they said, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And so Jephthah reminds them. He reminds them of what they did, and he reminds them, listen, you didn't want me in the past. Why do you come now? In verse number 7, and Jephthah said unto the elders of Israel, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when you are in distress? You know, he could have stayed there with that, with a bitter heart. He said, no, just I'll leave you to yourself. Let me tell you, friend, he didn't carry bitterness around. Jephthah was willing. Jephthah was willing. If God wanted him to go, he was willing to go. You say, how do I know that God was in this? Go down to verse number 11. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. He wasn't a man that was seeking something for himself. He wasn't a man, my friend, that was holding a grudge. He was willing for the cause of the Lord to move forward. And you know, friends, let me tell you, it's so easy today to hold grudges. It's so easy today to brood upon our hurts of the past. It's so easy to sulk about who did or who didn't say this, that or the other thing to us or about us, and let the cause of Christ go to the wall. And so Jephthah brought it to God. And rather to be carried away with his own conceit, friend, he wasn't seeking the place. He wasn't trying to swell his own importance. But he brought it before the Lord in Mizpah. And he goes with them. And then thirdly, look at his power, verse number 12. You see, whenever Jephthah came back and there was these enemy, the children of Ammon, coming against him, he didn't go back with all guns blazing, friend. Say, listen, I'm the man. I'll sort them out. Yes, he was a mighty man of valor. But you notice, my friend, he didn't do that. The Bible says in verse number 12, he sent messengers unto the king of Ammon saying, why hast thou, or what hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? The answer came back from the king of Ammon. Verse number 13, because Israel took my land. Friend, let me tell you, Israel didn't take their land. God gave them the land. Verse number 15, and he said unto him, thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came out from Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom. And he starts to remind them of the history of how God delivered them and brought them to that place. And friend, let me tell you this. He told them the truth. He didn't leave the lies sitting there. He was willing to tell them the truth. He wasn't looking for a fight. But he told them the truth. But go to verse 28. Howbeit the king of children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent. In other words, he didn't want to hear. Didn't want to hear the truth. He didn't want to hear about what God did for the children of Israel. He didn't want to hear the history of how that God had brought them to this place. And so the Bible tells us, verse 29, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And then he fought. And the Lord delivered the children of Ammon into his hand. This battle was of God's choosing. Notice the secret of his power, friend. The Spirit of the Lord. He was anointed with the power of God. And friend, if you and I are going to fight the battle in this day, we need the power of God. If you and I fight it in the flesh, we'll fail, we'll fall. It's only the anointing of the Spirit of God. Because remember, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm going over this quickly because I want to come to this last point. His promise. And I believe that in this passage of God's Word, we see something solemn. Read that rest of that story for yourself and get it. Look at the promise here, verse number 30. And Jephthah vowed a vow. We read in Psalm 116 this morning about paying the vow unto the Lord. That's where I want us to come quickly. Because Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and he said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hand. He was filled with the Spirit of God. He was relying on the power of God. This battle, my friend, was not man's choosing. It was a battle that God was in, and God was going to give him a victory. He was sold out to God, and he makes a vow to God, and he said, oh God, I want to tell you, I want to vow to you, Lord, if you give me the victory. Then he said, whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of mine house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's. And I will offer it up as a burnt offering. God gives him a victory. And he's coming home rejoicing in the Lord, friend. And as he comes home, and he's coming near his house, a young girl comes out, and she has a tremble in her hands, and she's dancing there, full of life and vitality. And Jephthah remembers his vow. He'd made a vow unto God. And as he comes home, verse 34, and he comes to Mizpah unto his house, behold, his daughter came out to meet him. Came verse 35, it came to pass that when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and he said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. For thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. Notice what she said to him. Verse 36. And she said unto my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. She says, Daddy, do what you promised to God. I wonder, a young person this morning, is that what you're saying to your mother and father? Mommy, Daddy, do what you promised to God. Honor the promise you made to God. Mother, father, can I ask you a question? Do you remember when that child was young and whenever that child was sick? Remember the vow you made to God? You said, God, if you put your hand upon this child, God, like Hannah, you said, God, you'll have him for the rest of his life. You made a vow to God. God put his hand upon the child. And friend, you made a vow to God that you would surrender that child over to the Lord. Have you paid the vow? Have you been holding out on God, friend? Is there a vow that you've made to God and you're holding out to God? Let me tell you this. If you've made a vow to God, pay the vow unto God. Withhold not thy vow from God. And here's his father, and he's coming home. And friend, let me tell you, as he comes home, he's filled with joy. He's filled with victory. He's filled with happiness. He's filled with the Lord because he is anointing of the Spirit of God upon him. And as he comes home, and the little girl comes running out, he realizes he's made a vow. Is there somebody here and you regret the vow you made to God? Do you regret the vow you made to God, friend? And God's requiring that you honor that vow. Now I believe, and this is, I want to give you this before I finish, friend, this is important. I believe there are two ways of reading this passage. And I believe that somehow that we could have a misunderstanding of what it means. Let me explain what I mean. I believe there's a natural way of reading this passage. In other words, that Jephthah had vowed to make his daughter a burnt offering. And that pained him. But I have to say this, that I have a belief before the Lord that that is not correct. Because let me say why. Because first of all, that would have been a rash vow and a foolish vow. And I don't believe that God requires man to fulfill a foolish vow.
to God.
And I'll tell you why I believe it's a foolish vow. If that had been the way. There is a natural reading of it, and he would have been carrying out a foolish vow, but I believe it had been going further. Because I believe there's not only the natural reading of this, but what actually the reading of it was this. He was dedicating his daughter totally to the service of God, not as a burnt sacrifice. He wasn't making her a burnt sacrifice. But friend, he was offering her not as a human sacrifice, but he was offering her to the rest of her life, that she would never know man. She would be a virgin for the rest of her life. And she would devote it completely and totally given over to the service of God. And I'll give you my reason why. First of all, the Bible clearly forbids the offering of human sacrifices. The Bible forbids it. Now, God will never ask you to do something and never expect you to do something which the Holy Ghost has already said is wrong. The Lord will never lead you or let you do something and lead you to do something wrong. Let's turn your Bible quickly to the book of Leviticus. And in the book of Leviticus, in the chapter number 18, in the verse 21, and we could go to other passages, but let's just look at it. It says here, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord." And I believe, my friend, that God's word is forbidding the offering of human sacrifices. You'll find it in chapter 20 of Leviticus, verses 3 to 5. You'll find it in the Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. You'll find it in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 and 12. And if he had offered her as a burnt sacrifice, listen, my friend, God says they were not to do it, it would bring judgment. And if he had done it, I believe it would have brought judgment upon him, because he was defying God. Human sacrifice. Also in this passage, notice what she says. Go back to chapter 12. This chapter here concerning chapter 11. And you'll notice whenever she bewailed, go back to verse 37. And it says this, "And she said unto her father, let this be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail not my death." She was not going up and down the mountain bewailing her death. She said, "I will go up and down the mountain." And she says, "I will bewail my virginity, I and my fellows." And he said, "Go." And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and she bewailed her virginity upon the mountain, friend. Notice, it wasn't her death that she was bewailing. She was bewailing her virginity, that she would never know a man, that she would never be able to bear children. I believe there's another reason why that it couldn't be that she was a burnt offering. If you look on the last verse, verse number 40, it says, "The daughters of Israel went yearly to lament." Now just underline that word. Because when it says lament there, they went to lament the daughters of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. The word lament doesn't mean that they went to mourn. In actual fact, the word in the original means to praise or celebrate. That's what the word means in the original, to praise or celebrate. Let me tell you, my friend, it would have been wrong to have praised and to have celebrated a foolish vow. And I also notice that in the book of Hebrews, in the chapter 11, he's noted as a man of faith, and the book of Judges tells us the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Let me tell you, I do not believe that the Spirit of the Lord will contradict or will lead contrary to the Word of God. But I believe there's a key here. Go back to verse 31. "Then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth to the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's. And the next word in the English here is and, but in actual fact, in the original, the word is or. It can not only be and, it can also be or. And what he was saying is this, when I return in peace from the children of Israel, whatsoever cometh forth out of the doors of my house shall surely be the Lord's, or I will offer it upon the burnt offering. And when I was studying this, I was finding that some of the great commentators were saying this, if the first comer was a human, it would be the Lord's, and if it was an animal, he would offer it as a burnt offering. What God was saying here is this, and what Jephthah was saying, Lord, I give her completely and totally to you. She will never know a man. She will never bear a child. Because God, I'm giving her completely, totally, and absolutely over to you. I remember Emma Munn. She's a great missionary. And Emma fell in love with a young church army officer. And God called Emma to the mission field. And I remember Emma saying to me time after time, whenever she came back from the mission field and was an elderly lady, I remember visiting her hospital before the Lord called her away, and she said, you know, I loved that young fella. I loved him with all my heart. And she said, when God called me to be a missionary, she says, William, I wanted God to call him too, to the same mission field. But she said, God called him that direction. And God called me that direction, away from each other. And she said, I must be honest before God. I remember when I went to the mission field, and she said, I was there in the old wee mud hut. And she said, at night when some of the other missionaries were going, there were couples, young couples. And she said, I could see them walking out in the night time. And they would walk maybe just before they would retire for the night, and they would talk hand in hand. And she says, as I saw that young man and that young woman walking hand in hand, I said, God, why did you not let me have my lover too? But she said, I want to tell you something. I dedicated my life to the service of the Lord. And I never regretted giving all to Jesus. With this I close. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and chapter 5. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I want you to notice these verses very quickly as we close. Verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not mine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou art upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. In other words, God's listening to you. And then go to verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For God hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Psalm 116 says, I will pay my vow now unto the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Have you vowed to God, friend? As a member of this congregation, let me tell you, I believe that when you join as a member of this congregation, you promise to be faithful to this congregation, and you promise to be faithful to the work of God. Did you keep your vow? Are you keeping your vow? As a Sabbath school teacher, you vowed to give your everything for this place, to the work of Christ, to the cause of Jesus. Are you keeping your vow, friend? Better you'd never vowed than vow and not pay. I will pay my vow now unto the Lord. Christian, you vowed to serve Him. You vowed to love Him. Is there another love in your life? Have you wandered away from Him? Has your love for Him grown cold? I will pay my vow now in the presence of all His people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thou art searching our hearts this morning, and Lord, before Thee we ask of Thee that Thou wilt, Lord, help us to pay our vows. Show us the way that we ought to go, and help us, Father, to go with Thee. Bless every one of Your children and build them up in their faith. Restore those that have fallen and bring the prodigal home. And Heavenly Father, save the lost. For Jesus' sake. Amen.